Hi, this is Larry London. We welcome you once again to Border Crossings. Talking with us is a country music sensation who is enjoying the success of a number one song. Actually, it's his second number one song. He sold millions of records around the world. Parker McCollum is joining us. He's in studio today and took time to talk to us. So thank you, Parker. Nice to have you with us.
No, thanks, Larry. Appreciate it.
So recently turned 29.
And, yes, sir.
You had your big birthday party. You're living in Austin. I've been to Austin, played golf at Barton's Creek. I love the city. It is a great city with a great vibe.
Yeah, my dad lives in Barton Creek, and so I get to play there. I actually live in Nashville, just bought a house here a couple months ago and moved here full time. But every time I'm home, we go play Barton Creek.
Mm-hmm. And you are a real life cowboy. You're not faking this. You grew up on a ranch with your grandfather.
I would spend the summers working for my granddad. He was a big quarter horse and cutting horse and cattleman, and was very fortunate to have that as a part of my childhood, working for him and ranching growing up, and moved to Nashville. I'm doing the neighborhood thing right now. So a couple more number ones, I'll buy my own ranch back in Texas and be right back to it.
But I did read also where you said that you have lived every song you've written. And if you don't live the songs, you're not going to sing them.
Correct. That is very true.
And so, I mean, where do you get your best inspiration for songs?
I guess as you get older, it changes a little bit. But, you know, it used to be, there was a time I wrote that album Probably Wrong, and I broke up with this girl I'd been dating for a long time to intentionally be sad and write country love songs, sad country love songs. And so I just did it for so long. Now I have kind of figured out how to do it all the time. And which it was kind of weird, you know, the last year without touring and stuff and not really feeling like an artist, I wasn't writing a whole lot. And then, I've got all kinds of songs cranking out right now. So I've already written half of the next record, but
wow,
it's just trying to keep it going.
Now, so you don't get writer's block. I mean, you don't have to deal with that. It sounds like songs come easy to you.
No, I don't even really think about writer's block. It's just, I don't ever force anything. I always just try to let it happen naturally. You know, you kind of go through phases where part of the year, or maybe you'll hit a couple days where you just really, really feeling like writing songs. And then I'll go, you know, I may not write a song for the rest of the year and then write 10 in a month. So it's there's no formula for me. There's a method to the madness. I'm just not quite sure what it is yet.
And you've been writing since you were 13?
Yes, sir.
Yeah. And so do you ever look back at the songs that you wrote when you were 13? You
know? Yes, they're very bad. Very bad.
Well, since then, you've, of course, experienced a lot more traveling on the road. You played the Grand Ole Opry. That's really exciting.
That was a dream come true. I played again next coming up here soon. I just played it a few weeks ago again for the second time. But, it was back in February, and just – an absolute dream come true. I knew it was a big deal because, I always tell my grandparents about the cool stuff I get to do or cool shows we get to play, and they're always proud and think it's cool. But when I told them I was playing the Opry, they about jumped out of their chairs. They just couldn't believe that one of their grandkids was playing the Grand Ole Opry. So that truly was an honor.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and you like to tour. You know, that was something else I read about you, that you just are like a road machine, you were referred to, but you like to be out there.
Yes. I mean, and the goal is to play less shows, right? You don't want to have to play 150 shows a year. If you're only playing 70, 80 shows a year, you're doing really well.
Mm-hmm.
So we're trying to, each year we try to cut a few off, and hopefully we won't have to play as many. But I love to be on the road, especially after the last year we've had. We've been back at it for a few months now. It's as good as it's ever been right now.
That people are excited to actually be at concerts again. Yeah. So there's an extra added, energy there that was, people are always up anyway, and you're going on the road with Dierks Bentley?
Yes, be on the road with Dierks Bentley and Riley Green for 20 something shows, I think.
Wow. All this is exciting. This is very exciting stuff for you. You seem to be taking it all in and very calm and laid back through all this. All this exciting stuff going on for you.
Yeah, I mean, my dad always told me since I was real little, always act like you've been there, and which gets kind of hard because I find myself in a lot of places I've definitely never been before, a lot of situations like that. But I mean, it's just as good as it's ever been right now, and When you're tired all the time in the music business, that's a good sign. Mm-hmm.
So tell me about one of those weird situations that you were in and how you got yourself out of it.
Meeting George Strait, meeting Kid Rock, being in all kinds of crazy places, like being on MCA at Universal and playing label events with Carrie Underwood and standing there. You know, I remember her on American Idol when I was like 12 years old. And then now I'm, played right before at the Sutler event about a year ago. And I remember just standing there going, how in the world, I must have slipped in when no one was looking. I don't know how I got here.
We're talking with Parker McCollum, and Parker's got a new album, which is out. It just came out July 30th. And so I know you've had a couple of EPs. And so is this album number two or album number three?
This is my first full length on a major label, but it'll be my third full length album as an artist.
Mm-hmm. Major label. How has that changed the dynamic of what you do? I mean, working with a major label versus an independent.
It hasn't changed what I do at all. It just, now we play to several thousand people every night instead of several hundred. And it's just, the opportunities you get are much bigger and the lights are a lot brighter. But as far as what I do, I mean, still just sitting in my living room, maybe having a little too much to smoke or drink maybe, and trying to write sad country love songs. So all that's still the same. And, just trying to, I always say, still trying to make it. I hope I'll always be saying that.
And I know that there's a big difference between playing the smaller intimate shows and the large festivals with 50,000 or more people there. Do you have a preference?
I like the big shows. I like to come out swinging. I love playing, I'm always, like in Dallas, that was 20,000 people. That's the most tickets we've ever sold on our own headlining. And it's just a phenomenal feeling when you walk out there and think to yourself that, everybody's there to see you. It's a really, really crazy thing, especially looking, at just 4 years ago, we were playing for absolutely nobody every night of the week. So it's something I don't take for granted, especially after the last year we've been through. But it's to say I'm blessed would be an understatement.
So the new album is called Gold Chain Cowboy. And the new single is To Be Loved By You?
Yes, sir.
And so why Gold Chain Cowboy? What inspired the name of that?
It was kind of just started as a joke a long time ago. And I used to wear a fake gold chain when I was younger from Walmart. I always wanted a real one. So I was like, well, I got to work hard and make some money, and finally bought a real one. And there's kind of growing up just north of Houston, there's like there's several different very strong influences that have been a part of my life and being part of growing as an artist, and just kind of taken from all different genres and so many artists that I've been obsessed with over the years. And but as soon as I make enough money to buy that ranch that's my own back in Texas and get back to doing that all the time is absolutely the goal. And so it's kind of just this little person in my head, I guess, that I kind of try to channel, I guess, when I write songs, and trying to figure out who you are as an artist and as a songwriter and as a person. And your late 20s is crazy. You kind of, you start to think about the world a little differently and how you want to do things and how you're going to wish you'd done it when you're an old man. And when I was thinking about Gold Chain Cowboy, I said, man, for where I am right now in my life, it just seems to describe me perfectly. So hopefully people will take to it and enjoy the record. Wait Outside, it's the first track on the album. It's really, it's the closest to a happy song I think I've ever written. Most of my stuff's, real sad, slow songs about everything going terribly wrong. And this one I think is kind of, it's kind of funny, but it talks about I'll love you in heaven, I just know I'm not going to get in, so I'll have to wait outside. And it's like a small little step in the direction of a happy song, but not all the way there. And I will love you forever until the day that I die. Yeah, I love you forever.
that song talks about, you know, meeting in heaven and whatnot. So are you a religious person?
That's something I've been kind of going back and forth in for a long time. And I always just say, I'm still trying to figure it out. And all options are open, I guess, right now. But, you know, my fiance, Hallie Ray, is, if anybody can get into heaven, it's probably her. And I'd had that chorus. I wrote that chorus alone like 4 or 5 years ago. And then when I met her, I was like, well, I can finish that now. That'll definitely be about her. So if anybody could get in, it would be her.
Mm-hmm. And what is she in showbiz as well, or?
No, sir. She is not in show business.
Okay. Well, and that's got to be a difficult life for her to be following you around and have everybody pawing at you and screaming at you.
Yeah, no, she handles it really well. I think she kind of understands that it just comes with the territory. And if they weren't yelling and screaming, probably mean we're not doing too well. So
that's true. Or crying because you're singing some sad songs. So
yeah. Yes, sir.
Now, I did want to ask also, I mean, you had mentioned openly that one of the things that drew you to this business was the attraction of women, you know. So, I mean, obviously that all worked out for you.
Yeah, I got
a good one.
I got the best one. It was a no-brainer. I remember as soon as I met her, I was like, probably going to marry that girl.
Well, that's great. That's congratulations to you. When's the wedding? Do you have a date set?
It's in March. There is a date set. I don't know what it is, but
you don't know what it is, or you just don't want to say it. That's all.
It is in March.
So Six Market Boulevard, is that still the name of your band?
No, that was a band that I used to, when I was real young, I'd first moved to Austin and I was buddies with them. My brother had gone to college with some of them and they were kind of a regional act in Texas. And that's when I was really obsessed with going on the road and just wanted to, I just wanted to be a touring musician so bad. And I didn't play with them. I just, for a couple runs they went on, I would go ride with them and load their gear in. And if they were headlining, I'd open form acoustic and, I'd sleep in the van on the floor. And, which if you've ever slept on the floor of a van, it's not very comfortable. There's not a lot of room, but some of the best times I've ever had in my life, just kind of no rules and no responsibilities, just kind of running around with them. And, a time in my life I'll never forget.
And you mentioned your brother, Tyler, you kind of looked up to him and were inspired by him, I guess. Was he in music too, or?
Yeah, he put out an album last year, the year before. He's working on another full length album right now. Phenomenal songwriter, really, really talented. And really was the one who showed me what songwriting was at such a young age. And I just don't think I ever would have been, I don't know if I ever would have found my love for songwriting if it hadn't been for him.
Is songwriting the favorite part of the business? I mean, if you have to pick one, performing? Yes, nope, it's the songwriting.
For sure, yes, sir.
No, that's great. That, you know, and it must be, you have to be vulnerable because you're writing sad songs. You are opening yourself up because you've also admitted that, you know, that you've lived these songs. So you've experienced the heartbreak, you've experienced the pain. So writing songs can also be a bit therapeutic, I'd assume.
Yeah, I mean, I don't talk about that kind of stuff. You know, it's not really my thing to sit down and share my feelings or whatever you want to call it. So I think songwriting's kind of my avenue to get all that stuff out. And sometimes it gets a little too real. We got to dial it back a little bit, but you know, you don't want to hurt anybody's feelings, at least anybody that is in the family or that you know. So it's you try to kind of walk that line between being real and still staying guarded.
Yeah, and you mentioned, you know, with the family, how have you and your family been dealing with the COVID thing? This, thankfully, we're coming out of it slowly but surely, but I mean, it's been a tough year.
Yeah, I mean, it was, you know, there was a lot of pros and a lot of cons. I mean, I got to hang out with my dad. My dad hung out so much, worked on his house, and that was like a great part of it. Once deer season rolled around, that was amazing to be off the road and just be at the ranch every day. But I mean, at the same time, my first ever national single went to radio the same month that the world shut down. So for a little while there, I was sweating it pretty good. But you know, everybody that in my family that got COVID handled it fine and nobody really got sick. And we were very blessed in that regard. So it was easy to focus on the good things in life.
Parker McCollum is talking with us and we're talking about his new album, Gold Chain Cowboy. So what are your favorite songs on the new album? Since this is the first major debut album for you with the major label.
You know, the song Rest of My Life is probably my favorite song on the whole album. To Be Loved By You is certainly a close second. Falling Apart is one of my favorites. It's just so different from a production standpoint than anything I've ever done. And I really do like the whole record. I think we did what we were trying to do. But at the same time, I just feel like I can do so much better. So it's time to get back to work.
It was late September. It was right on time. It seemed like forever. Been weighing on my mind. We were barely speaking. There was no way out. It was probably my fault. It always is somehow. And I lay down for a moment, and my eyes start closing. I can't help but wonder why. Yeah, it's just the rest of my life. Let a couple hours go by, then I bet it's gonna be
song. I mean, I love that song. You really hit all the notes. You hit all the chords. You pull all the strings, so to speak. Touch all those warm places.
Yeah, that song was really the only decent song I wrote during COVID. And I wrote it in like 15 minutes, got out of the shower, humming the melody, wrote it in like 15 minutes. And I don't know, I would say that's got to be the best song I've ever written. It's the closest to exactly what I'm always trying to do that I've ever gotten. In just one song. So it was a no-brainer to put that on the record.
Mm-hmm. Was the ACM nomination the highlight for you? I mean, what's been your highlight so far? The Opry? I mean, you've had so many in the last couple of years. Could you pick something that you'd say this has really been the aha moment for Parker McCollum?
I mean, Pretty Heart going platinum was probably the coolest thing that's ever happened to me. The Opry is probably tied with that. I mean, they gave me the platinum plaque and told me it had gone platinum right as I was walking on stage at the Opry. So,
wow,
that was an incredible evening. But I mean, when you grow up and your favorite artists that you idolize growing up, always in their interviews talking about platinum and gold and number one and all this stuff. And then all of a sudden you're talking, you know, 10 years down the road, you're talking about something that you wrote and recorded and put out that's gone platinum. It's a crazy feeling.
Mm-hmm. A couple of artists that you mentioned frequently that you idolize, Willie Nelson, George Strait. Have you met these artists? Have they given you any advice? Have you asked for advice?
I met George. I have not met Willie. Those two and John Mayer probably tied for my top three all time. And the only one I've met is George, and it was real quick, and he couldn't have been sweeter. And I don't even remember what we said to each other. It was such a blur, but it was such an honor to finally get to shake his hand.
Mm. Do you remember when you heard your music on the radio for the very first time? I think that's a significant moment in an artist's life.
Yeah, there was a station in Austin called, and they played a song, a really, really bad song I'd put on the first ever recordings I put out. It's a song called Highway. And I was by myself in the truck, and I just all of a sudden it was coming through the speakers, and I thought my phone was plugged in, and it was, and it was on the radio station. And I'd call my dad. I was like, "You're not going to believe this."
You call the station, say, "Guess who I am?"
Yeah, play it again.
Play it again and again and again. Gold Chain Cowboy is the name of the new album. You got a tour with Dierks Bentley. You only said 20 shows, but what about the rest of the year? Moving forward into 2022, I'm sure you got a big tour schedule. Any plans to go overseas internationally on tour?
I think we've got some Canada shows in 2022 coming up. We're on tour with a big artist that I cannot name yet, but and hopefully I would love to go play in the UK. I really hope that's in our future.
Yes, because we're on in the UK, we're on in Asia and Africa, the Middle East, all around the world, and the troops are listening. And I know that you're a big supporter of the troops.
Yeah, we every night on stage, I always take a minute to just recognize any active duty military or veterans and thank them for serving the greatest country in the world. It's something. I've got buddies that have been Marines and been in the Air Force and been in the Navy, and watching them and their family go through that is not easy, but it's I got all the respect in the world for the men and women who do that.
Country music has always had a special relationship with the troops. I don't know why or what it is, but it's country music's always been there for the troops. You know, it doesn't matter who it is, as far back as, you know, the old USO tours and whatnot, it's country music. It's always been there with supporting the military.
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, everybody in country music, it seems like, understands that, you know, the reason you get to make a bunch of money singing songs for a living is because we live in a country that's free, because, you know, a bunch of very brave men and women have gone out and paid the ultimate price and sacrificed, you know, countless nights and days away from their family to allow us those freedoms. So it's just something that I never take for granted.
So let me ask you, why do you typically rely on sad songs?
I don't know. I love sad, slow country love songs. Always have. And it's something that, you know, I like to just kind of be leaned back on the couch playing guitar on a rainy day, trying to write a song. And it seems like the sad ones are always the ones that, you know, make you think, and the ones you remember where you were when you heard them. And, you know, you listen to a song that you used to listen to all the time, or an album, and you can remember kind of that part of your life just because that music is so relatable to it. So it seems like the sad ones always kind of help pull that together a little better than the others.
Any collaborations planned or anything any different that you're planning? Because I know that, you know, Kane Brown came out with a hip hop mixtape. So, you know, some people are kind of experimenting a little bit in country and doing some different things.
No, I don't think there will be any hip hop mixtapes for me.
No hip hop for Park McCollum, huh?
I don't know. I mean, I wouldn't be opposed to it. I really do love all kinds of music, and I really think it's strange that people pigeonhole artists into certain genres or want a band to sound the same for their whole entire career, or don't like when they do something new. I love when an artist does something new and kind of takes a risk, or, you know, maybe expands their horizons a little bit. And I don't have any plans on the top of my mind right now to do it. I'm trying to get what we're doing right now to work. So if it works, maybe we'll take a swing.
Holiday music or anything special you can take? No collaboration?
No Christmas songs for me. But yeah, I mean, there's a couple people in my mind. I won't say who they are, but if I ever got the chance to do a collaboration with them, I certainly wouldn't pass on it.
Well, Kelsey Ballerini wants to do one with you anyway, so even if you
want to. Yeah, I would love to.
What does that say about me? I could do you like I did. Then I could break an angel's wings. What does that say about me? Then I stood there like a fence post as you drove off in your car. What does that say about me? Now that I've broke your pretty heart.
Parker McCollum, this is Border Crossings. He's with us. He's live in Nashville in a studio somewhere, holding out, recording music all day, all night, because that's what he does. So Pretty Heart, who was the inspiration? Well, you probably won't tell me. What was the inspiration? I mean, you were in a romance. You were in, you know, what happened? What was going on at the time you wrote that?
No, that was an idea I'd had for a long, long time and forgotten about it, and was just starting to – I'd never really co-written before, and I was in Nashville and was riding with a guy named Randy Montana, who now he's a good buddy of mine. We write together all the time, but we had never met. We just went into a room at the Warner Chapel office here on Music Row, and just like any other old co-write, and I'd found a video on my Instagram from way back, like 2014, of me singing this melody and this hook, and next day went in and sang it for him, and I was like, man, I forgot about this. We can chase it if you want to. And his eyes kind of lit up, and then we wrote it in like an hour. I think it was pretty quick, and I didn't think the song was very good. I kind of thought we had wasted the idea, and then when we went, actually the label loved it, wanted me to do a demo, and we went in the studio and cut it. And I remember while we were recording it, I just was thinking, man, this song's a little better than I thought it was. I think it deserves a little more credit. And so it's crazy to see that something like that can go all the way to the top of the charts. And yeah, it's such a huge song for us, and very grateful for it.
It paid for your chain.
Yes, it did.
Gold Chain Cowboy, the name of the new album. And we're talking with Parker McCollum. Where can people find your tour schedule and information about you, and how can they contact you on social media? The people around the world are reaching millions and millions in 100 different countries worldwide who are probably turned on to your music now, certainly, and meeting you for the first time, if not already fans. So where do they need to go?
I mean, if it's on the internet, we're probably on it, on Spotify, Apple Music, Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, TikTok, the whole deal. Just type in Parker McCollum, and It's on there.
And your website?
I think it's just parkermccollum.com. I hadn't seen it in a long time.
Uh-oh. You have your people doing that for you.
Yes, sir.
Well, thank you, Parker. What a pleasure it is to meet you and to have you on the show today. I appreciate you taking time to talk with us on the Voice of America. Is there anything you want to say to the troops and to our worldwide audience that are tuned in?
Oh, man, to all the troops, thank you for what you do. It's a certain kind of person that it takes to do that job. And I know I speak for me and the guys that are on stage with me every night. We're eternally grateful for, the sacrifices that have been paid before us and are being paid day in and day out right now. And something we never take for granted. We are very grateful. And God bless the USA, baby.
Thank you, Parker McCollum. Really appreciate you coming on the show and hope to have you in our studios when you come to DC and we're back past this COVID.
Yes, sir. Thank you, Larry. Appreciate you guys.
Thank you. Gold Chain Cowboy is the name of the new album. Get a copy, get it online. It's available. My name is Larry London, and you are watching Border Crossings on television.